In the U.S. tax system, income is taxed across different rates, escalating as the income increases. When you file your taxes, adjustments are made, deductions are taken, things might be added back in, all to get to your final number. Once that final number is calculated, really only then can we see how much we owe, or again, how much we might get back in a refund. Hire a professional, save your time, save the stress, right? Take a vacation. When you get back, they'll be done with it. When you donate to a qualified organization, the IRS allows you to deduct the value of your contribution from your gross income.
Welcome to Dear Rochester. Retire well. Dive in. Be curious. Become prosperous. David Pulsini, CFP, his team, and his guests will help you figure out your 6 points and give you the ultimate roadmap to financial freedom and what to do from there. Now, let's get started.
It's that time of year again where people are figuring out what they owe, what their refund might be, and what we should be doing for next year. And before we can get into talk about the actual things to do, I want to go over why you might owe. We get a lot of questions on this, or why you might get a refund. And it all has to do with what we call marginal tax bracket. So bear with me for a second. But if I asked you, what tax bracket are you in? Many of us, or many of you, have really no idea, but some of you will say 24% or 32 or 37. And that might be right, but here's what that actually means. And let me give you an example here. Imagine a couple, Dave and Sue, and together they bring home $200,000 a year. Contrary to popular belief, not all of their income is taxed at the same rate. And that's where the marginal brackets come into play. So in the U.S. tax system, income is taxed across different rates, escalating as the income increases. Okay, so these rates apply to income in segments, which means Dave and Sue's first dollar is taxed at a much lower rate than their 200,000th dollar, right? So for 2023, you did your taxes for last year. Let's say the tax bracket for married couples, they're filing jointly, starts at 10% for income up to $20,550, and it gradually rises to 24% for incomes over $178,150, but less than $340,000. So they fall in that $178,000 to $340,000. Okay. So Dave and Sue's first $20,550 is taxed at 10%. The next segment up to $83,550 is taxed at 12%, and so on. So this system ensures that Dave and Sue won't pay a flat 24% tax on their entire income, and that's a good thing. Instead, only the portion of their income above $178,150 falls into this 24% tax bracket. Another, I think, easier way to say it is this. If the tax bracket cutoff were $178,150 and they made $178,151, either $1 over, most people think that they are every dollar's in that tax bracket. That's not true. Only that $1 is taxed at that 24% rate, okay? And I say that the nuanced understanding of this can significantly impact how you plan or they plan their finances and look for future savings opportunities, okay? And because of the way this works and because it's not a flat number, when you file your taxes, adjustments are made, deductions are taken, things might be added back in, all to get to your final number, okay? Once that final number is calculated, really only then can we see how much we owe, or again, how much we might get back in a refund. If you're wondering, I get this question a lot, in an ideal situation, maybe this is personal, you want to owe $0 and you want to get back $0. For some of us, it's unrealistic. If you have your own business, we know that. But if you're getting a W-2 income and you owe zero and you got zero back, that means you paid exactly what you needed to, but you also did not loan the government your money for the year. I know that many of you are, I get this a lot, many of you are saying, yeah, but I like to get my refund. Which, if I were being completely candid with you, I'd say this. You should take that money that you overpaid for the year and put it into a high yield account or an investment that is in your control and you are keeping the interest, right? And with that said, and this is just the truth, most people are not that disciplined, right? If we know if we got it, we'd probably use it for something else. Some of us would save it though. So I thought I'd throw that out there. So What are we here for again? And that was a long explanation. Sorry about that. But I want people to understand that tax brackets are marginal. I want you to understand that the bracket that you hear about is typically not totally accurate. But what are the easiest ways to lower what you pay in taxes going forward? Okay. The first one, we've all heard this before. It's the easiest one, and most of us know it. It's increasing savings into a pre-tax retirement account. And I'll get to a couple more complicated things, but this is so simple. And it could be a 401k, it could be a 403b, IRA, SEP, any type of, well, SEP IRA or solo 401k, any pre-tax retirement account that you have will reduce the amount that you owe in taxes. Most of us know that. So let's say Dave and Sue made that $200,000 that they pay taxes on, but they increased their retirement contribution by $10,000. Now they only pay taxes on $190,000. So increasing it saves them $2,000 to $3,000 in taxes. I guess it really based on what state they're in, but it should be around $2,000 to $3,000 in taxes saved by increasing their retirement contributions by $10,000. Okay. I'm not going to get into how much you can contribute. If you need those numbers, just search for it or reach out to us. I can send you that. But what I will say is, in working with literally thousands of these types of accounts over the 20 plus years I've been doing this, the most successful people that I have seen take advantage of this just simply increase by 1 or 2% every year. And very quickly, they are putting in the most that is allowed. So here's the action item, folks. And it's this: add this to your calendar literally right now. Increase retirement contribution. Put it in for the last week in December. We do this for a lot of our clients. I reach out to a lot of folks that last week between Christmas and New Year's, and it says, reach out to these people, increase their retirement contribution. If you're doing it yourself, just put a note in your calendar with a reminder. It'll pop up, increase retirement contribution. You'll do it, and before you know it, you'll be contributing more than you honestly ever thought you could, okay?
We'll be back after this short message.
Hi, this is Dave Pulsini. Sometimes we are asked, what does 6 point mean? And I wanted to explain that right now. 6 points are the 6 points of financial planning. We have investment planning, retirement income, risk management, tax planning, estate planning, and then custom goal planning. Those 6 points include over 120 things that we actually do for folks. So if you are not confident in your 6 points, reach out to us. Back to the show.
Second way to lower your tax bill for next year: contribute to an HSA. So that's a health savings account, and it's a really powerful tax saving strategy, especially for folks enrolled in high deductible health plans. And the allure of HSAs really lies in the fact that there's a triple tax advantage, which is really unheard of. I can't think of another time that this has happened, but it makes them a cornerstone for savvy financial planning, okay? Especially for healthcare expenses. But first, an HSA, when you put it in, it's like putting it into a pre-tax retirement account. It's tax deductible. It gives you immediate tax relief and it lowers your taxable income, right? And the deduction is accessible whether you opt for standard deductions or you itemize, okay? So you can take this deduction. I'm not going to get into what those mean, but just know that that's good. You can take it either way. Either way that you claim deductions on your taxes, HSAs count. The growth of an HSA, because it can be invested, is the second layer of, tax efficiency. Interest and earnings accumulate within the account. So if you put in $4,000 and it's grown to $5,000, that is tax-free. Okay, it's like a retirement account or like a Roth IRA. And it mirrors the growth benefits that you see in retirement savings, but it is tailored for healthcare savings, right? So I would say that this really ensures that the healthcare, it's almost a healthcare nest egg. It can go unhindered by taxes. It grows without taxes, and it maximizes any savings potential that you have. And so now we're going in tax-free. It's growing tax-free. And finally, when you take it out, and probably the best part to me of an HSA is the tax-free withdrawal for medical expenses. That is all yours. If you see an HSA with $100,000 in there and you're using it for medical expenses, that is all your money. No taxes are owed. And you can use it for routine doctor appointments, for prescriptions, and many other things that I don't need to list out. We can search that anytime. But basically, the tax-free distributions ensure that the healthcare costs also don't eat into your other retirement savings. Okay. So a lot of folks that don't have an HSA, we have to take money out of retirement accounts, pay our taxes, and use it for healthcare. HSAs make sure that that doesn't happen. So I'll say this, incorporating HSAs into the tax planning strategy, it not only offers immediate tax deductions, but also secures long-term benefits through the tax-free growth and the tax-free withdrawals. Okay. How much can we contribute to HSAs? The maximum that you can put in for 2024 is $4,150 for an individual, $8,300 for a family. If you're over 55, you can do an additional $1,000. Okay. Action item here. If you have an HSA and are not participating, look into it today. Stop this. Look into it today, please. It's good for so many reasons. And just ask the person at your employer to get the ball rolling. Send them an email. At least that gets the ball rolling, and then we're looking into it, right? And I'm honestly just trying to give you the easiest and simplest action item you could do. Send that person an email. We'll get the ball rolling on the HSA, okay? The third way to lower taxes. So we've talked about the HSA. We've talked about pre-tax retirement contributions. The third way is called tax loss harvesting. Again, bear with me, but it's a strategic financial move to sell investments that are at a loss. Okay, so this concept hinges on the tax code's allowance for offsetting capital gains with losses. So you're offsetting gains, we want to take some losses. When you take a loss, you can reduce it to eliminate the capital gains taxes from other investments. And if your losses exceed your gains taken for that year, you can use 3,000 of it to offset other income. That's the important part, okay? So whether you're taking money out of accounts or not, if you've lost 3,000 in an after-tax account and you're not taking a gain, we may be able to use that to lower your overall tax burden, okay? And if it's more than 3,000, we can use it to carry forward into future years as well. So if there's a big loss, we might want to take it, reinvest those dollars in something else, and it carries into future years and keeps losses for you, which sounds crazy, but that might be a good thing, right? And the most opportune time for tax loss harvesting is typically, it's really throughout the year. Most folks will want to look at it at the end of the financial year when you have a clearer picture of your overall gains and losses, okay? What I will say, it's essential to monitor the portfolio throughout the year, especially during market downturns, as the period when the markets are down presents significant opportunities for tax loss harvesting, right? Markets are down, we have a loss, let's take it. So strategically realizing losses and tax loss harvesting, it lowers your taxable income, reduces your tax bill, all of that stuff. And it doesn't just provide immediate tax benefits. Like I said, it allows you to reinvest the proceeds into more favorable positions, more stocks, better funds potentially, and hopefully increases the portfolio's potential to gain. Okay. If you don't know about tax loss harvesting or capital gains, all this stuff, I know it sounds complicated and it's scary and it's something that maybe you should just skip, but I'm telling you, don't. So I did this for you. This is kind of cool. I asked ChatGPT to explain tax loss harvesting to a fifth grader. Here's what it said. And I quote from ChatGPT, "Tax loss harvesting sounds like a big complicated term, but it's a simple idea that can help you save money when you have investments like stocks or bonds. Imagine you have a garden with different plants." I love this. "Some plants grow big and strong. These are like investments that make money. And some don't do so well. These are like investments that lose money. Now, let's say the rule of gardening allows you to replace the not so good plants with the new ones without getting in trouble for the plants that didn't grow well. This is kind of what tax loss harvesting is in the world of investments. Here's how it works step by step. Number one, check your garden. First, you take a look at all your investments to see which ones are like the strong plants, which ones made money, and which are like the weak plants, which ones lost money. Number two, pick out the weak plants. You find the investments that didn't do well. Instead of being sad about them, you get ready to make a smart move. Number three, say goodbye and hello. You sell the investments that lost money. It's like removing the weak plants from your garden. And then you use the money to buy new investments that are a bit different, but still something you like. It's like planting new seeds in place of the old ones. And number four, save on gardening fees. Here's the cool part. By doing this, you can tell the people who make the rules for gardening, like the IRS for taxes, that you had some plants that didn't grow well. They might say, okay, since you had some bad luck, you can pay less in gardening fees or taxes. So by doing this every year, you make sure your garden is always filled with the best plants and you don't have to pay extra fees for the ones that didn't grow well. It's a smart way to keep your investment garden healthy and save money. And I end quote there. I think that's great. I cannot explain it any better than that. So I'll stop there. Hopefully that was helpful. I love ChatGPT, but and let me give you this. The action item here is this. Set a reminder in your calendar to check your investment portfolio, just the after-tax part, okay? Not the pre-tax retirement. You can't do this in retirement accounts. If you see some losses in there that you can take and you can move that money to a potential better stock or fund, you can do that. Or what I would say is hire an advisor or a team that just does this as part of their systematic process and don't worry about it, right? But that sounds self-serving and I don't want to say that. So put a reminder in your calendar, check it out. If there are losses, make sure you look into those, okay?
We'll be back after this short message.
Do you know how much money you need to retire with confidence? Do you know how long your money will last? Are you missing something? Retirement planning is like a puzzle. And we want to make sure that not only do we have all of the pieces, but that the pieces are in the right place. To find out where you stand, go to 6pointfp.com and take our How Much Do You Need to Retire 5-question quiz. We will email you a free video response to let you know what we think. Now, back to the show.
Fourth way to save on your taxes next year, charitable contributions. This can significantly reduce the taxable income and it obviously offers a financial benefit to you and also supports the chosen charity for you guys. When you donate to a qualified organization, the IRS allows you to deduct the value of your contribution from your gross income. And just like retirement accounts or HSAs, it lowers the amount of income that's subject to taxes. Okay. So this is particularly valuable for those who itemize their deductions. Okay. So this is an itemized deduction on your taxes. Again, I'm not going to get into that, but the extent of the deduction depends on several factors, and it includes the type of charity, the form of the donation. So if you give cash or property or stock, you can give all of those. And it also depends on your income level. So I'll give you one example here. If cash contributions to a public charity, you can typically deduct up to 60% of your adjusted gross income. So if you made $1 million, you can deduct $600,000 on your adjusted gross income, right? I don't have many folks giving that much of their adjusted gross income, so it's a very high cap. If you do this, no matter what your income level, make sure that you have proper documentation, receipts. A lot of charities will send you a letter or for any contribution, regardless of the amount, $50, $100, $100,000, whatever it is, make sure you keep that letter or receipt, okay? I could get into this part for a while. I'm not going to do that to you guys, but non-cash donations, appreciated securities or property. This is cool. It not only allows you to deduct the fair market value of the item, which reduces your taxes, but it enables you to avoid capital gains that would have been due if you sold it instead. So think if you've had a stock for a really long time that is appreciated, you're not going to take it. But if you did take it, you would owe a large amount in capital gains. If you donate that to a charity, you get the deduction for the total amount and there are no taxes on the gains for the charity. Okay. I hope that helps. But let me say this. The action item here is if you are donating to a charity, how are you doing that? Is it cash? Would it make more sense to donate an appreciated stock or fund or property? That's something to consider. Okay. So if you've not donated to a charity and you like the benefits that it serves, again, not only for your own tax benefit, identify a charity that you would like to give to, search them on the internet and reach out to the contact person that's on their website. That at least gets the ball rolling again. Okay. So I was trying to give each an action item for each of the four to make it really simple and then move on from there. Okay. So I'll end this soon, but folks, that's four examples. That's just four on lowering your taxable income. You know what? Let me do this. I'm going to Google this live right now while we're talking about this. I'm going to Google. I have no idea what it's going to say, but I'm going to look up how many tax deductions are available. I see 24 tax breaks. I'm scrolling. 49 tax breaks for 2024. Six, especially for seniors. Here we go. This actually pops right up. For 2024, this is from the IRS website. For 2024, as in 2023, 2022, 21, 2019, and 18, there is no limitation on itemized deductions. as that limitation was eliminated by the Tax Cuts and Job Acts. It, basically, what that means is anything to do with business or itemized deductions, there is no limit. So I did not know I was going to say that, but my point is this. There is no limitation. So are you 100% sure that you are getting the most you can? Think about that. If there's no limit, are you actually deducting everything you can? Are you sure? Think about it, okay? So let's get back to Dave and Sue and wrap this up. At the end of this, Dave and Sue came in paying taxes on $200,000. By understanding the marginal tax brackets and by looking just into the four things that we've gone over, not to mention all the other things that they might have available, we increased retirement savings by $10,000. They added $8,300 to an HSA. We tax loss harvested $3,000 in their portfolio, and they donated $3,000 to charity. That took their income from $200,000 to $175,700. Depending on what state they're in, this is going to save them about $7,300, $7,500-ish in taxes. And it puts them in a much better spot for retirement. It helps with future health care for sure. And they made donations to causes that they care about. So, and here's my disclaimer with this. You'd really need to see which of these items, some of them or all of them, maybe none of them make sense for your situation. But I will say we have a checklist with, it's actually 37, but I'll say around 40 of these items that when we are working with a client, we are considering it when we are trying to lower their taxable income. We are not CPAs. We're not accountants. We don't prepare taxes. But part of our job is tax planning with folks. And if we collect the 1040s from a client or a prospective client, and we can run it in our software, and we can use these items to say, hey, maybe you missed something, we will do that. And again, I don't have time to go over all 40, but you probably, and you don't have the attention span to list the 40 tax ideas right now. But what I would say is this, if you are doing this yourself, please understand what is involved. And like with many things, you are if you're doing it yourself to save a few hundred bucks or even a few thousand, what if it's actually costing you thousands because you don't know what you don't know, right? Are you actually saving money by doing it yourself? And you guys know what I'm talking about here. Think of the person that you know that had some DIY project at home that was trying to save money. Not only did they mess it up, they were probably stressed out the entire time. For my folks to do home projects, it took months longer than it should have because you're trying to do it yourself. And it would have just been done for you quickly. And most importantly, it took a tremendous amount of their time. What is that worth? So I usually say to people, why aren't we focused on the things we're good at and that we enjoy more? And maybe you enjoy tax planning. I don't know. But if you don't, there are folks out there that can help you. Okay. And it's the same. Hire a professional. Same for the DIY projects that you don't enjoy doing. Hire a professional. Save your time. Save the stress. Right? Take a vacation. When you get back, they'll be done with it. So, and hire that professional for your taxes, your financial planning. Spend a couple hours per year with them. That's it. Save the stress, the FOMO, right? The fear of missing out. What are you missing? Because you don't know what you don't know. Stop wondering what you might be missing and get your time back. Make it a great day.
Thank you for listening to the Dear Rochester Retire Well podcast. Click the subscribe button below to be notified when new episodes become available. The information covered and posted represents the views and opinions of the guest and does not necessarily represent the views or opinions of Six Point Financial Partners. The content has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The content is not intended to be a substitute for professional investing advice. Always seek the advice of your financial advisor or other qualified financial service provider with any questions you may have regarding your investment planning.
Content here is for illustrative and educational purposes only. It is not legal, tax, or individualized financial advice, nor is it a recommendation to buy, sell, or hold any specific security or engage in any specific trading strategy. Results will vary. Past performance is no indication of future results or success. Market conditions change continuously. This commentary reflects the personal opinions, viewpoints, and analysis of Six Point Financial Partners. It does not necessarily represent those of RFG Advisory, Private Client Services, their clients, or their employees. This commentary should not be regarded as a description of advisory services provided by Six Point Financial Partners or RFG Advisory or performance returns of any client. The views reflected in the commentary are subject to change at any time without notice. Securities offered by registered representatives of Private Client Services, member FINRA CPC. Advisory services offered by investment advisory representatives of RFG Advisory, a registered investment advisor. Private Client Services, Six Point Financial Partners, and RFG Advisory are unaffiliated entities. Advisory services are only offered to clients or prospective clients where RFG Advisory and its representatives are properly licensed or exempt from licensure. No advisory services may be rendered by RFG Advisory unless a client agreement is in place.